please excuse my sarcastic tone. I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample show now. Mr. Pistro, fraternity guy, you cup of asshole, bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap to the side to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. So cool, was so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man. Punch for punch, gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. Well, I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. A nice guy who speaks through his fists. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you're probably kill her before she gets away from you. Swears in a pool of blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Donuts, toast, I'll pack your bags. Bury you with my cash, ready to go.
Everybody, welcome to the Plex. Welcome, podcast listeners. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you're following the Plex on your favorite podcatcher, or just search Echoplex Media on your podcatcher and follow them all. We have a bunch that are currently in production, some that are out of production, some good old back episodes. I don't know. I guess I'm Producer Dave, and you can find me on Grindr. This is what the people want.
Everything's fine, and everything's fine, and it's great. Everything's fine, and everything's fine, and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine, and everything's fine, and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine, and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice day. The weather, the traffic, the time, and the news. How's your commute? What do you do? Sorry I'm late, I kept hitting snooze. It's just one of those days. You know what they say. It is what it is. Ignorance is bliss. When it rains, it pours. Couldn't ask for more. What goes around comes around, all in good time. I guess that your guess is as good as mine.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice.
All right, so topping our story list tonight, well, not topping it, but it's the first story on our story list tonight. Every once in a while on CNN, Don Lemon gets real mad and starts kind of talking like, I don't know, like he stands for something, which I'm having a hard time believing. But here he is talking to Chris Cuomo, who is making, at least in the still at the beginning, the most uncomfortable eye contact with the camera I can imagine.
Heavy right now, because you know the person you need to be saying that and who needs to hear it is Rick Santorum. I was furious watching the interview in my office. I cannot believe the first words out of his mouth weren't, I'm sorry, I said something ignorant, I need to learn about the history of this country, no contrition, didn't talk about, you know, the suffering that Native Americans have had to deal with in this country. It was, I mean, Rick Santorum, really?
Yeah, that's Rick Santorum, actually.
Did he actually think it was a good idea for him to come on television and try to whitewash the whitewash that he whitewashed? I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible and insulting, and I apologize to the viewers who were insulted by it, because I was sitting in my office furious.
You quit.
Because he's done it so many times. So many times. And it's just, I'm sorry. It was just, it was so egregious and insulting, and everything that we talk about the founding of this country, Europeans did not found this country. It was here. The Native Americans had this country before the Europeans came. Yeah, the Europeans conquered the country. They colonized it, but they didn't. It had nothing to do with the founding of this country. And he should recognize that. He needs to know that, especially if he's going to be on television representing us and talking about it. He should be doing it from the...
Like, this is all well and good, but, like, this guy acts like he's... Like, this is the first time he ever seen fucking Rick Santorum. Like, if you work at Rick Santorum's network, you have a high profile like Don Lemon, you could just quit. Because anywhere you go, you'll be doing just fine.
Right perspective. And not from some perspective about how, you know, what Europeans... No! That's the wrong way to look at it. That is the... It's all wrong. I'm sorry, but that is the truth. And I can't believe I was watching it going, I cannot believe this man is sitting here and doing this. It was like for Black Lives Matter, it was like Native American Lives Matter moment for me watching that.
Well, ask yourself this once, you know, you deal with the emotion of it. Why are things like that said? And why does he not apologize, but say...
That's not for me to answer. That's for him to answer.
But you have to, because otherwise...
Like, I know why. It's because he's Rick Santorum. It's just what he's been doing the whole goddamn time. You work at the same network Rick Santorum is like a contributor for. If you care that much about it, fucking quit. What do you think, Don Lemon is going to be like alms for the poor if he doesn't fucking have a job at CNN tomorrow? Fucking quit. Tell him, listen, you either fire this guy or I quit, if you care that much. Maybe they'll fire him. Who fucking knows? Then he can go run around complaining about cancel culture and you can dunk on his ass on Twitter. I don't know. But complaining to fucking Chris Cuomo about it, I'm not sure that really does anything. Anyway, here's another clip of this exchange.
For me, I'll just say this, because I know you got show to do. Look, this country is in a crisis that is all about identity. And there is a wager being made on the right that they can get enough white people to believe that they are targeted, that there's been a perverse culture shift, and that they are being replaced. True? No. But it's not about facts. It's about feel.
I think people know that.
If that were true, then that party wouldn't be as formidable and the Democrats wouldn't be as vulnerable as they are in the upcoming midterms.
People already know that. And the people in the Republican Party know that. That's
70% of them.
That's why you have an insurrection.
Biden didn't win.
You have an insurrection because people believe that America was founded in the image of white people. And that the country was built in their image. And therefore,
again, Rick Santorum is a contributor to the fucking place you work. Quit. Both of you, quit. You're both millionaires. You can just leave.
their way. It's the same thing that Rick Santorum is saying about Native Americans and the lack of the contribution, what have you. It's the same thing. I think people know that. I just think people are tired of being insulted every single day.
70%
of
that party accepts
that doesn't
the big lie.
Right. That doesn't make it right, and that doesn't mean
that. Of course it doesn't make it right. What I'm saying is, if it were as simple as 2 plus 2 equals 4, we wouldn't be in this situation.
It's not that. Listen, you're not getting anywhere, because
I know you're upset. What I'm saying is, what's the solution? What's the fix? If it were as simple as he's wrong, you're right, we wouldn't be here. That's all.
We got to go, because we're not going to agree.
I agree, because I know where you're coming from, and I love you, Don Lemon.
Yeah, I love you too.
We agree on the problem. What's the solution? We got to figure it out.
I got a solution, but anyways, not my.
I want to hear about a solution. Yo, the solution is, if you both think this is happening and it's happening at your network, fucking quit. You're both rich. You're rich guys. You can quit. A lot of people who work somewhere don't have that luxury if they don't agree with what's going on at their work. Also, the two of them might have enough like clout or institutional power within CNN that they can be like, look, we're both going to walk if you don't fucking fire Rick Santorum. I don't know. Maybe they'll fire Rick Santorum. But just, this is all fucking like hand-wringing and stuff about it. It's not, that's certainly not going to do anything, hand-wringing about it. So like some of the people that work at these like supposed news networks need to start just walking when the news networks do stuff like this. And until they're willing to do that, then all they're doing is fucking enabling the problem, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe if they all quit, then there's nobody to fucking counter program against Rick Santorum. But these two dudes that you just watched on the screen have enough money to start their own fucking news network, probably. Wouldn't be as big as CNN, but it would be way bigger than what I'm doing here right now, right? Shit, they could join me here on Sundays. I don't agree with them on everything. They're like neo-libs, and I'm like to their left, but they'd be welcome here, right? It'd be fun watching me try to like rein in some neo-liberal stuff on the show and try to get them to be a little more animated and a little more spicy. But yeah, that's the solution. They could walk. They're not going to, because they want to keep their position of power. And that's the way that it goes. So up next is, we got Fox's Pete Hegseth, I think is his name. He's going to talk about immigration and Ilhan Omar. Ugh.
What does unchecked illegal immigration and massive waves of refugees look like without assimilation? It looks like this. Globalist Joe, that's Ilhan Omar. Global Joe, just like Jake Sullivan, loves Ilhan Omar.
Which Global Joe?
Is why his refugee move yesterday is so dangerous. Ilhan Omar was a refugee. She came to America as a young girl, fleeing the civil war in Somalia. Following 4 years in a refugee camp in Kenya, she was granted asylum to the United States, eventually settling in Minneapolis. She graduated high school there, attended college in North Dakota, and secured a prestigious policy fellowship at the University of Minnesota. A few years later, she was elected to the State House and then to Congress.
Okay, great. That's the American dream, isn't it? The American dream. Sounds like the American dream to me.
Congresswoman Omar has chosen to return American goodwill with grievance, not gratitude. You've heard her. She views her time in Somalia as blissful, while criticizing the United States as racist, oppressive, and torturous. That's a direct quote. Unlike my good friend Bakr Ali, Ilhan Omar did not choose America. America chose her from the squalor of a refugee camp in Kenya. We opened our doors and welcomed her. The state of Minnesota housed her, educated her, empowered her, enriched her, elevated her, and then elected her. All so she could make a living out of condemning America. Now she is setting the terms of U.S. refugee policy. Inside the halls of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, she is the authority.
She doesn't even work there. Refugees, that's the White House. Yo, like this guy, she doesn't even work at the White House.
Her. Moments ago, I mentioned the word assimilation. Shh, don't say that word too loud. You're not supposed to say that word anymore.
You said it on TV, dumb fuck. All right. Oh, here, this is, oh no. He's going to play some footage. We played this on the show. This was probably back in the days before we were even here on Twitch doing video, when we were doing an audio only podcast, and I know we watched this. Here's footage of him like just harassing Somali immigrants.
Well, just 5 years ago, I hit the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota for Fox and Friends, a neighborhood dubbed Little Mogadishu with a majority Somali Muslim population. This is what we found. The Islamic schools in here in Minnesota, they teach Sharia law.
Yeah, Sharia law.
And what do they teach? Also American law, the U.S. Constitution?
Actually, I have no idea about that one.
We're here with Fox News just doing a story about the Riverside.
She's like, get out of here.
No English? Any at all? No? Just wanted to see if I could ask you a couple quick questions.
No English.
Would you be willing to chat with us?
No
English. No
English? No English.
This was not the exception. Truth is, Ilhan Omar's Minnesota is a preview of what the White House wants for a city near you. Just look at old
Europe. People who speak a different language and don't look
Europe
like me?
Decided long ago to open its borders, not demand assimilation or allegiance from new arrivals, and gut their military.
Global Joe, look at that. Yo, if I was Joe Biden, I would just start calling myself Global Joe. I ain't no big Biden fan or whatever, but Jesus Christ, Global Joe is a pretty cool nickname.
To pay for their welfare states. It was a perfect recipe for division, dependency, and decline. It's what Global Joe wants here.
And Global Joe is such a based nickname.
And Comrade Cortez, he's doing it.
Who's Comrade Cortez? Global Joe and Comrade Cortez would be like a great, like a folk rock duo, right? Global Joe and Comrade Cortez live at the cafe. That guy's like discount Tucker Carlson. He's just like suggesting again that Fox News is doing this again. Like kind of soft peddling the idea that we're being replaced, that people in cities are being replaced. You know what? I live in a diverse area. Here where I am, there's a lot of white folks, a lot of Asian folks, a lot of people from the Middle East, some Indian people, a lot of people from Mexico and Central and South America. It's pretty diverse here. That's fine. Nobody's being replaced. Everybody just fucking lives here. Like people I don't even think about it that much. I'm like uh-oh. Well, there's a person ringing me up at Safeway Mexican. Like, fuck, I don't even think about it. I'm like, hi, how are you? What's up? And I'm like, no, I don't need a bag. Actually, I brought a backpack. Thank you. And that's it. It's like, what the fuck? I certainly don't go bother people on the street to ask if they speak English or ask like what kind of religious school they go to and shit. That's bullshit. Hella harassing those people. We're almost out of the Fox News segment of the show, I promise. But this is pretty good. We got Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry. I don't even think there's any Tucker Carlson on the docket tonight. We got a Brian Kilmeade. And I think a sixth grader is about to wreck Brian Kilmeade.
How close are you to getting back in the room? What do you miss most about not being in school?
I miss most, obviously, seeing my friends and all the after-school activities that I've done. And I think that we're very, very close getting back to school. And I think that the way that our new president is handling things is a very good way. And we would not have gone to this if it were still the last president.
Really? That's hard to believe because the last president was saying, I want every kid back in school.
Yo, good job, Kilmeade. Good job. You sure showed that fucking 12-year-old kid, didn't you?
You? What is your hope, knowing the numbers are going down and the governor might be opening up?
Yo, he sure showed that 12-year-old kid. He's like, oh, the last president wanted to open the schools. Guess what? They didn't open the fucking schools. Brian Kilmeade is dumb as fuck. So this is on, I don't even know what network this is on. This guy on the right is like this. I've seen him before. It's not Dr. Oz. He looks a little like Dr. Oz. But anyway, they're wondering about Yoda and what political party Yoda would be a member of.
Because it's May the 4th, be with you day. And speaking of politics, we're kind of adding them together. And we have a poll going on Twitter, if you're on there. Is Yoda a Republican or a Democrat?
Do you have an answer to that?
Well, I was going to steal the joke. You know, he's a libertarian. I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, John was saying that. Although, you know, it seems like Yoda was big on self-sufficiency.
Right.
Very Republican, libertarian also.
Okay.
And the votes, you put it out on social media. Mm-hmm. You have a bigger presence than I do. I never put enough energy into it, but I have 75% of people saying he's a Republican.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I have 87% are saying that Yoda is a Republican. 13% say Yoda's a Democrat, and we have over 1,300 votes so far.
Okay. Oh, well, it's settled. A pretend revolutionary fighting against a pretend fascist regime is actually a Republican, if you could imagine that. fucking, it's a little green doll on a fucking movie. I think the Jedi were, I don't know if they were like anti-fascist. They were definitely not conservative. That thing was, that whole thing was an allegory for basically a far right fascist regime. I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I fucking know what it's, what the story is about. And it ain't about the Republicans coming to save you from too much taxes. Here's Representative Kevin McCarthy in what appears to be like a Golden Corral or something giving a talk about wokeness.
Well, I wish Major League Baseball would learn the lesson from this, to not make a rash decision, to make informed decisions, to read the bills before they make judgment. This movement in this country about wokeness has got to stop. We can disagree on things, but let's base it upon facts. What I really want to have happen here is not the people who have been hurt, the small businesses, but more importantly, every single one that stood up here, the entrepreneur that risked everything, they would tell you it wasn't about them. They're more concerned about their employees. How do they help them? They put a lot of plans. They put a lot of.
I wonder if, is he in a state where they can pay like a restaurant staff like less than $5 an hour because they're tipped? I bet he's in a state that does that. And he might be even in an establishment that does that. If you care about your fucking staff, you don't do that.
People that get an all-star game, that's Christmas for their business. That helps them go on to other months. I think Major League Baseball should find a way to make it up to this community because they made an uninformed decision and they harmed a lot of people who are out of work and could have made overtime, could have been able to make investments that they were missing, especially after COVID.
Yo, some states you don't even have to pay fucking people who work at a restaurant minimum wage. Those people are not the investor class. That's fucking insane. It has nothing to do with wokeness. Wokeness is like anti-racism, as far as I can tell. The fucking meaning shifts depending on what it needs to mean. Fucking Brett Weinstein from the Galaxy Brain Humidor a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, was saying that wearing a mask is now a sign of wokeness. So it just kind of means anything that fucking some reactionary doesn't like. Anyway, sometimes we get videos from state government, and this is from Tennessee. This is Justin Lafferty, and he's going to talk about the Three-Fifths Compromise when the country was started, and he's going to be completely wrong.
The Three-Fifths Compromise was a direct effort to ensure that southern states never got the population necessary to continue the practice of slavery everywhere else in the country.
Wait, what?
What does that mean? Appropriation.
Virtue signaling with Chick-fil-A. Population.
That's how we pick. Everybody in here knows we've got nine state representatives. By limiting the number of population in the count, they specifically limited the number of representatives that would be available in the slave-holding states, and they did it for the purpose of ending slavery well before Abraham Lincoln, well before a Civil War. Do we talk about that? I don't hear that anywhere in this conversation across the country.
Dumb fuck.
I don't know how we've gotten here. I don't know what we do about it. But talking about changing our history, changing's not the right word. Talking about incorporating another view of history while ignoring the very writings that we have access to is no way to go about it.
That's incorrect. And so here's a Laura A. Jarrett from New Day on CNN about to like explain why that's fucking massively stupid.
I can't believe this.
Yes, you can. And here's why. All these conversations are coming up right now as Republican lawmakers across the country are pushing new bills to limit what schools can teach students about racism in this country. But some now find themselves in need of a history lesson.
In this place, what it was
Tennessee State Representative Justin Lafferty took to the House floor Tuesday, delivering an impassioned speech during a debate over legislation aimed at limiting funding to public and charter schools if they teach critical race theory.
There we go. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody in chat was talking about it. Yep. This is all about critical race theory, which is, I think, another thing. It's like woke. It doesn't mean anything until somebody needs it to mean something. I really want to have someone on. If anybody out there knows a social scientist who studies critical race theory or could just like give us a fucking basic overview of what it is and what's being taught at like grade school and like all the way through high school levels. That would be fantastic. We get some good information, probably talk to somebody really nice and smart. Because the conversation is really being dominated by these people right now. And I am not an expert on critical race theory. So I'd really like to have someone on who knows about it. Probably be a great interview for our Wednesday show about the intellectual dark web, actually.
A practice that sees racism entrenched in laws and institutions, and one that has become a prime target for some conservatives lately.
I've heard referenced in here, as you all have, the three-fifths compromise. I challenge everybody that can hear my voice, pull out a piece of paper, write down why that compromise was reached.
Admittedly, speaking off the cuff, Lafferty went on, defending what he called a bitter but necessary compromise, erroneously claiming it was a way to end slavery.
The three-fifths compromise was a direct effort to ensure that Southern states never got the population
necessary to
continue the practice of slavery everywhere else in the country. By limiting the number of population in the count, they specifically limited the number of representatives that would be available in the slave-holding states, and they did it for the purpose of ending slavery.
Yet the three-fifths compromise wasn't about ending slavery at all. It was one of a number of pro-slavery compromises baked into the Constitution during negotiations in 1787 about congressional apportionment and taxation. What Representative Lafferty failed to mention is that the compromise meant that a state could count three-fifths of its enslaved population toward its total population, even though enslaved people had no rights and certainly couldn't vote. That gave Southern states more representation and effectively more political power.
That's correct. That was a good debunk, right? Because if people don't have rights, then adding them to your population, even 60% of them, like, gives you an unfair advantage because everybody in the North got to vote. So frustrating. Like, the things that people are willing to do to stop this boogeyman of CRT or whatever, it's so stupid. This guy, like, didn't have to do that. Like, but here he is making a dumbass of himself because he wants to make sure he's appropriately anti-critical race theory. And that motherfucker doesn't know what the fuck it is. There's no way he does. He just wanted, I don't know, he just wants to fucking, like people in chat were saying, he's probably just racist or wants racist policy and wants to like boogeyman critical race theory as a reason to have racist policy to like push back against critical race theory or something. And it's stupid. Just guaranteeing you the very few people that talk about it could explain it to you in a way that makes sense to the average person. So when you hear people talking about critical race theory, just understand there are probably pretty good critiques of it from other people who study the social sciences. But generally, a Republican lawmaker is not going to be someone who studies social science who's going to make a valid critique of critical race theory. Also, like Twitter idiots and like the intellectual dark web folks are probably not really the best at that either. So next, Project Veritas made a music video. I watched it, and now you have to watch it.
No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I think that's propaganda.
Twitter permanently suspended his account after he exposed hypocrisy and fraud at CNN.
Project Veritas, a very controversial
that
conservative group.
That are promoting
group.
Misinformation.
The Times reported that the footage of Project Veritas was part of
according
the,
to Stanford researchers,
a coordinated disinformation
coordinated
campaign.
Disinformation.
Sued the New York Times for defamation.
Project Veritas just won a major victory in that case.
I come to you and offer you $100 million. You're not going
to
settle?
No, tell them to go to hell.
I just can't believe that my face is on TV. Oligarchy. Am I left or right? M-O-G-O-E. Oligarchy. Do I have faith in truth? Does truth have faith in me?
James O'Keefe is suing Twitter for defamation.
Project
Veritas
taken down because they confronted a Facebook executive.
Took a video like that down, it would be due to a doxing concern.
I can show you a video of CNN doing the exact same thing.
Twitter made factual statements about our client that are false.
Oligarchy. Twitter, CNN, Zuck is working with Dorsey.
Some other competitors.
Oligarchy. Did it make believe? Was
them what you wanted them to see. Oligarchy. Do you bring life to the market?
James O'Keefe, who I think is a despicable person.
The judge said,
But all of this.
I think him and Wall don't like each other.
Misinformation.
Some people want life.
The Project Veritas, a conservative actionist activist organization.
They're like destroying TVs that nobody would use.
Decide the truth. Go speak to us.
Have you been to fail? Yeah.
I think music production was just defamed by that fucking video we just watched. Holy crap. How does that guy still have a YouTube channel? I mean, I guess it's like whack-a-mole, right? Like when Twitter kicked them off, I think Twitter kicked them off not for like misinformation, though. I think Twitter kicked them off because they were using botnets. You can't use a botnet to advertise or to like boost your shit on Twitter. They will kick you off immediately. Yeah, there's a lot of people practicing law without a license probably in that video. You're right. Welcome, Ali Drew. I'm glad you're here. I mean, that video kind of speaks for itself. I feel like that video said everything it needs to say. I can't say anything about that video that you're not thinking right now, because there's more of you here than usual, which is nice, actually. We got Mario Murillo. He is a like some kind of mega church pastor, and he's going to talk about God, mobilization, and of course, the Democrats. Shout out to Right Wing Watch, by the way. We get a lot of our stuff from them.
Political and moral action. Here's what I wrote. To organize, educate ourselves on how to terrify National Democrat leaders.
Am I a National Democrat leader? I'm a registered Democrat. I know, everybody's going to leave now. He's talking about terrifying me because this kind of shit actually does scare me. This Christian nationalism shit, don't like it.
How to win local elections and train our
people how to win local elections?
Why they believe what they believe and to believe it with conviction. This means that the pulpit must take on abortion, gay marriage, transgender indoctrination of our children, and yes, racism. Because
oh, he's going to start talking about fucking critical race theory again. Yo, this is going to be one of them words that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it kind of already is.
If we really want to get rid of racism, we're not going to allow this artificial equality, because that in itself is nothing but the plantation owner trying to lure you back and tell you that I'm going to take care of you if you just come back and start to be a servant of me. The party that invented the Ku Klux Klan, the party that fought the civil rights movement.
Yo. Okay, first of all, the only pictures they got of Democrats and the KKK are in black and white. And the Southern Democrats did not support the Civil Rights Act. And after the Civil Rights Act passed, with some support from Southern Republicans and support from Northern Democrats and Northern Republicans, the Southern Democrats, the Dixiecrats, a lot of them flipped. It's not like it happened the next day, but over time, those people then became Southern Republicans, the people that implement the Southern strategy. This is like really simple history that I feel like I've explained it to people. By the way, you all already know about it. I'm explaining it maybe to somebody who's listening who doesn't know, or maybe somebody on the podcast who doesn't know. But like, this is like the simplest thing that ever happened in American history. This is not fucking complicated.
Is the Democrat Party. And you have to understand that if you want equality, it is by the blood of Christ that we quit looking at each other's color and we begin to see each other as what we are. Blood-bought children of God. The Lord wants the prophetic movement to take its stand in the arena, to barge open the doors of influence and say, we belong here. Mayor, we belong here. Governor, we belong here. Congressman, we belong here. If you're going to try to legislate immorality, we're going to fight you with every last drop of the anointing of Almighty God. Somebody, you believe what I'm preaching now?
No. I don't believe any of that shit. Also, this guy's just a fucking basically calling for theocracy. Like, I'm like very, very much afraid of theocracy. I don't want any religion running my country. Most, as we look around the world, when religion has too much influence in a country, it sucks for people who have the wrong imaginary friend in those countries. Things are not getting better. This docket is one of those where it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse as it goes along. Yeah, maybe the answer is not Democrats, but if I got to go vote for the fucking president, I got two choices of people that might win. I'm going to fucking pull the lever for the fucking least scary of the two, because it's unfortunate, but I guess that's kind of like, at least that's what I think I have to do. You can vote strategically while you can vote strategically. In fact, I hope everyone does. Think about people who have the boot of the government on them, you know? Anyway, I was going to watch more of this, and then I removed it all from the docket, except for this. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene, the notorious MTG. Maybe notorious is the wrong word. She's at the Villages. It's Florida's friendliest hometown, and she's going to do this.
You guys. All right, I just got to check something. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Tell me, who is your president? That's my president, too. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was with friends and family, not with Antifa or BLM or
just anybody who accepts the reality that Donald Trump lost the presidential election. By the way, Joe Biden's not my president. Donald Trump was not my president. Barack Obama was not my president. George W. Bush was not my president. Bill Clinton was not my president. That person is the president. It's like a title that someone has. This idea that, like, oh, that's your president is such a stupid fucking thing. Theoretically, they're supposed to, like, be there to serve the country. They're a president or the president. Yeah. Like right now, the president of the United States is Joe Biden. You may not like it, but that's okay. I'm not going to tell you he's your president. He just happens to be the president, you know?
Are Democrats socialists?
Oh, I'm a Democratic socialist. I'm socked in.
Did anybody Democrat? Vote for Joe Biden? No! Do you guys really think he won?
No! Yes, actually. By kind of a lot. Like, if you were to get rid of the Electoral College, Joe Biden won by a lot.
This kind of support for a man that stayed in a basement for an entire year campaigning, did you?
He wasn't in a basement. Like, why do they keep... Maybe his studio was in his basement? But yo, do you know how much better this show would be if my studio was Joe Biden's basement? Do you know how nice his fucking house probably is? Do you know how fast his fucking internet probably is? Yo, fucking Global Joe, let me use your basement for my studio.
Well, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Listen.
No, we're not going to listen to any more of that. That's because the clip ended there. This, you know, like I said, like these are not your president. The person is just the president. It's a title. It's like saying that, like, the CEO of the company is your CEO. No, they're just the CEO. Oh, God. Okay, so this guy, I don't even know who he is. Oh, this looks like it's at the Texas State House again. They're putting a voter suppression like into law. This person used a Jim Crow era slogan. And, you know, he's not trying to suppress the votes of anybody.
What was your motivation for using that term purity at the ballot box? Because that's a specific set of words that has a lot of meaning in state history.
You know, you may have figured out by now, I really like the state constitution. And
why is this 12-year-old like talking at this thing?
And I think as a legislative body, just as Congress should, they should be looking for their authority from their charter, from the thing that gives them power. And so when we're looking at what authorizes us, right, the sovereign people of the state of Texas who delegated their authority to the through the Constitution, we then should look to the Constitution and say, what gives us authority to do anything on this issue? And that's the provision that does that. And so that would be why.
Did you look at the history before using that word?
No. The only thing, if we were to have a discussion, maybe over some coffee or a drink, someone could go into the details of Article 1, really.
Yo, dude, nobody wants to go have a drink with you, especially look at the women behind him. The lady behind him is like, I don't think this guy's ever had a consensual sex. Like, they're talking shit behind him. Like, this guy is somewhere between 12 and 35, and if you told me he was like 17, I'd believe you, and if you told me he was 34, I'd believe you. And if I saw him on a dating app, I'd swipe left.
Really well. I've read the debates in the journals of the convention of 1875 on that, for that thing, but I'm not familiar with the
you
one.
You may have missed it then. And this would have been very obvious, I think, to anybody who looked at that and looked at that language. And that provision was drafted specifically to disenfranchise black people, black voters, in fact, following the Civil War. Did you know that?
No, that's. I'm sorry to hear that. We've heard and read of such things. I'm glad
you read about those.
It's a disgusting thing. Yes.
Did you realize that purity of the ballot box language in the Texas Constitution gave rise to all white primaries?
No, I didn't.
And did you know that this purity at the ballot box justification was also used during the Jim Crow era to prevent black people from voting?
No, those are troubling things. I didn't know that was their
reason.
Did
you know that in states across the country that penal disenfranchisement schemes were put in place, including in Texas, as far back as 1845, to effectively lock African-American people out of the political process? Are you aware of this history?
I wasn't aware of any kind of malicious intent in the use of that term.
Okay.
And the reason it was used is I looked at the Constitution because I believe our authority is derived from the people, and that's why.
Gentlemen, it sounds expired.
Like, even in Texas, they're like, yo, dude, just don't. Yeah, the chat, like why? Like, this guy wants really badly to be Ben Shapiro. I'm just going to, like, be pretty straight up. I'd hook up with Ben Shapiro. I wouldn't hook up with that guy. So we're going to move on to something a little funnier. Everything can't be horrible. So the question here, and we're at the, I don't even know where Ovidio is. Ovidio? Where is this? Anyway, somebody gave a secular invocation at a, looks like a city council meeting, I guess. And somebody didn't like it. So afterward, they're going to try to undo it with a Jesus or some shit invocation.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. And thanks to the council and staff for the work you do every day on our behalf. As we prepare and assemble for this evening's meeting, I want to encourage each of us to pause and reflect on why we're together. We're here to do the people's work. Citizens, employees, contract staff, elected officials, and guests were collectively known in these settings as we the people. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "That government is the strongest of which everyone feels themselves a part." And because it's easy to forget, especially in the
business of life. Yeah, TCK42, if you're on our Discord, like, I forgot to add that to my audio setup before I was able to actually... I was able to actually fix that and turn things to mono. I just forgot to add that to the setup. If you hit me up in Discord tomorrow, I'll fix that. And so next, anytime it's just right or just left audio, because I have a tool I can fix that with.
And work with so many personal and professional obligations.
I know, but
let's remember that we're here to serve in the best interests of all citizens of the city, not just for those like us, not just for those with whom we agree. this evening and at every meeting in this sacred yet secular chamber, let's find as many ways as possible to make all feel welcome, ensure all are heard, encourage all to be engaged. And may we remember that we the people hasn't always included those of us who think, look, love, or believe differently.
I love him.
Thank you, Mr. Roy.
He's so nice.
Mr. Chair, may I say a prayer, please?
Yes.
If you'd like to join me, I'd like to go before the Creator, of the universe. Our Father and our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to you, Lord God, asking for guidance. We just thank you, Lord God, for just hearing us and hearing me tonight. I believe, Lord God, that you're the King of the universe and that there's nothing new under the sun.
Abraham, not all Ham, but that's funny too.
Solved by man. We need your intervention. And I ask you tonight, Lord God, if you would give us wisdom as you gave to Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Give us wisdom to lead these citizens of Oviedo. And Lord God, as you promised, your son promised when he left this world, that you would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to heal this city, Lord God. We have been ravaged by COVID, and I just thank you, Lord God. And I thank you and give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen.
Did she just say the city has been ravaged by COVID, and I thank you, Lord God? Like, if you believe in a God that is all-powerful and controls everything in the world, and your city has been ravaged by COVID, I got news for you. That's actually God's fault. Now, I'm not fucking out of my mind. I don't believe that shit. I also just don't think this shit should be in anybody's city meetings at all. I don't think there should be a secular invocation. I don't think there should be a Jesus invocation. No Scientology. No Satanism. Get to the business of doing your fucking work in the city council. This fucking ceremonial shit is just wasting people's time. People come there. You saw people in the audience socially distanced, wearing a mask. Like, you know, the mask ain't bad, but it's like a little uncomfortable. It's better to not wear one. If I was more comfortable, I'd be wearing a mask doing my show, even though I'm all by myself. So you're like whatever. The guy who went and like just said, hey, all of us look different and believe different, and that's great for our city. Like, good on him, because if he knows that this shit's all Jesus-y, somebody's got to counter program this. But like, why even do this in the first place? It doesn't do anything for anyone. And it can be divisive. I don't mind like people on the city council disagreeing with each other about anything, but like, can we just not do this anymore? Can we just not? I don't care if it's a fucking Satanist, a Muslim, Christian, a fucking Episcopalian, a Scientologist. Actually, the Scientologist invocation would probably be pretty funny if they told the truth about Xenu and shit. That'd be fucking hilarious. But like, can we just not do this? Like, is there a reason that we have to do this? Have some weird ceremonial shit at the beginning? Do your fucking, get to the business of the fucking city and serve your constituents. That's why you ran for office. I bet your fucking like little ad when you were running for office said that you were there to serve the constituents. So serve the fucking constituents and leave this fucking shit about whether or not you believe in God outside of the fucking city hall, because it has nothing to do with the operation of your fucking city. We just need to stop with this shit. No more prayer breakfast sponsored with government officials at it. Just stop all of it. Because I don't give a fuck. I don't believe in any god or gods, but I literally don't care if the people I'm voting for do or not. I just don't care. Do they know how to do their job? Will they do a better job than their opponent? Great. Now go do your fucking job. But this shit, like I said, if the guy knew that there was going to be a Christian invocation and he went there to like give one, was like, hey, we're all different and let's try to like bring our city together. Well, good on him, because somebody has to do that shit. But like, why is any of this shit here anyway? Like, fucking 25% of people don't believe in any of that shit anyway. That's a quarter of people. Pretty soon it's going to be the biggest voting block. It's almost there now. It's damn near tied with the Christians. So pretty soon, people who don't believe in any religion and don't go to church are going to be the biggest voting bloc. Then who are you even pandering to? Dumb fucks. Sorry, we don't do a lot of shit about atheism. Like, I'm an atheist, but I actually don't care. Like, most atheists are dicks who believe in, like, the bell curve. Fuck most atheists. But your city government, this is not a place to, like, play out your religious differences. It's fucking stupid, and it's a waste of time in your city, your county, state government, federal government. This is a dumb place to fucking play this shit out. Don't do that. A really frustrating docket. And I have only myself to blame. I picked the fucking stories. Speaking of frustrating, I got Jimmy Dore. Here's Jimmy Dore talking about Seth Rich again. Seth Rich. Jimmy Dore. Seth Rich. Jimmy Pizzagate Dore. Seth Rich.
And that's what Dave Weigel does on the regular. And he does it when he's coming after me. Why? Because I expose that he's who he is. And he can't stand it. The first time I exposed who he was when he wrote this article. The Seth Rich Conspiracy Shows How Fake News Still Works. Well, he's supposed to disclose that the CIA is in a conflict of he's given $600 million to the owner of the paper.
Stop. Oh, we've done a couple stories about the CIA lately. Yo, if the CIA gave a newspaper fucking $600 million, Jimmy Dore wouldn't know about it. That's like the CIA's job. Not standing the CIA here. The CIA does a bunch of fucked up shit all over the world. I'm just saying they're good enough at their job that if he gave somebody $600 million, Jimmy fucking Dore wouldn't know about it.
The CIA, which is involved in the Seth Rich conspiracy theory, none of that did they disclose. None of it.
Did the CIA give the Washington Post $600 million? I'm just like skeptical of that. I don't know.
Jeff Bezos is doing huge business with the CIA while keeping his Washington Post readers in the...
Oh, okay. So here's like... The CIA may have paid Amazon $600 million for a contract for servers on AWS, which is probably a problem, but it doesn't have anything to do with Dave Weigel at the Washington Post. That's like too many degrees of separation away. Not saying that this isn't a problem and that like the CIA should roll their own fucking servers, probably. If I worked at the CIA, I'd be like, shouldn't we just have our own servers?
In the dark, because they're not allowed to disclose that, which is journalism malpractice.
Yo, so Jeff Bezos personally, as a person, owns either the entirety or the majority stake of the Washington Post, which I think is bad. Like, Jeff Bezos shouldn't own the fucking Washington Post. They report on technology, right? And so it's like a bit of a conflict of interest. But if AWS, Amazon Web Services, gets a big contract with the CIA, and Jeff Bezos, by the way, has stepped down as the CEO of Amazon now and isn't involved in the day-to-day operations. But this is just Dave Weigel. Dave Weigel, like, goes on the Majority Report. How much of that $600 million do you think Dave Weigel got? Come on. Like, do you think Dave Weigel got some of that $600 million that the CIA paid for server space? Yeah, you can buy your own servers. I agree. I'm not a big fan of the CIA, but you'd think they could roll their own server farm. Well, they probably do. Again, it's the CIA. Like, you should stop taking what they do at face value, Jimmy. They're the CIA. We have more Jimmy Dore, and the media wench would be very upset if I played two Jimmy Dores when she's on the show, but guess what? She ain't on the show tonight. So here's Jimmy Dore just talking about Bernie Sanders.
People, Ralph Nader, look what they did to him. Look what they do to anybody who actually stands up. Look what they did to Ralph. Bernie Sanders hasn't returned his fucking phone call for 20 years. That's you go to Bernie.
I mean, Sanders. How do you know that Bernie Sanders isn't returning Ralph Nader's phone calls? I think he just made that up. Also, like, what's going on? Like, he has a remote guest on, right? And his remote guest is like in an obvious window that's like a Skype window that's covering up his little Chiron with his information on this. our overlay don't look very good, but like when I have remote guests on, they're like in a place, they're like, they don't have like an outline from some application. They're in a place that makes sense. Jimmy Dore, like, you suck at this.
His office, he has a picture. He has a Eugene Debs, and it's just like, you disgust me. Take that fucking picture down off your office. You're such a pretender, Bernie. You're such a cuck pretender.
A cuck?
Ugh.
Yo. Like, A Voice for Men 2016, like, is really mad at Jimmy for, like, stealing their bit. A cuck. Like, I don't even think right-wingers call people that anymore. Am I missing something? Also, like, cuckolding is, like, just porn about that. It's like letting somebody else fuck your partner because it turns you on. Sounds good to me. Let your freak flag fly. Do your thing. Yeah, he goes on Tucker Carlson's show, yeah. Well, if any of you have been in chat lately, you probably made friends in chat with Kennedy. That's Verigo Kennedy. We got this clip from her, actually. Thank you to Kennedy for clipping out crazy for us. I appreciate, well, not for us, for the world. She's putting it up on Twitter. But Kennedy, thank you. Once we can get Kennedy's mic situation figured out, by the way, we're going to have Kennedy on sometime. She seems great. Here's Mike Lindell at the Bikers for Trump. I'm sorry, the Bikers for Trump Mother's Day extravaganza. Anyway, here's Michael Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
But none of the media called me. Zero. Okay? It was crickets. All, and then to get back in the news again, I'm sitting there going, Dominion. I want Dominion to sue me, right? I mean, that would probably make the news. So I have to call my left wing guy over at the Daily Beast and go, why don't you go tell Dominion I want him to sue me? So he goes over there and tells him, Mike wants you to sue him. He keeps saying it on TV. And they go,
yo, I'm like Twitter friends with like a lot of people at the Daily Beast. Who is his left-wing friend at the Daily Beast that he's calling?
Going to sue him. Well, then 3 days go by and they hadn't sued me yet. So I called up Swin at the Daily Beast. I go, Swin, you better go tell him that to sue me or you're going to be known as giving out fake news. You know?
This is like completely unhinged. We're like all the way at the bottom of the rabbit hole now. This is so crazy.
And he finally sues me, right? It comes out, and they not only sued me, but they sued MyPillow. Shame on them. They're part of the biggest cyber crime and crime against humanity in history, but then they got to attack a company that has 2,500 families and stuff that had nothing to do with it. But the thing is, every one of those guys that called me of the media, now I'm going to tell you how they're controlled.
What the fuck is he talking about? Yo, there was a time where, there's like three parts of this show. We do the upfront now. It used to be that there was nothing crazy to cover on the upfront. Everybody was in the studio. We'd like clink glasses, hang out, rock some local jams, take a few phone calls. This part of the show was usually the less crazy part of the show, the docket. We would do like the podcast release. That'd be a lot of Fox News and like maybe some Pat Robertson. We're so far down the rabbit hole that this clip did not make the part, the after show where we do the crazy. The whole world has gone so fucking insane. This guy is like a Republican mover and shaker right now. Think about that for a minute. One of our major political parties has taken this guy on as like one of their propagandists. That's insanity.
When Dominion sued me at 7 a.m. And here, first one I think was the New York Post or New York Times. She calls up and let's say her name was Becky. I can't remember the names. But she says, Mike, Dominion's suing you. I said, Becky, did you watch Absolute Proof? Did you see it? You haven't called?
We watched Absolute Proof. Absolute Proof was insane.
And wrote, I tried reaching out to you. I tried calling them, but none of them would answer their phone for 2 weeks. She goes, no, I didn't see it. I go, what kind of journalists are you that you didn't even bother and watch Absolute Proof that it's a crime? This ain't about Democrats.
What kind of journalist are you that you didn't watch my propaganda film? You ain't mad at me for that. We watched that shit on stream.
predatory property. It's a crime against our country. And I told her, I said, here's what I'm going to do for you, Becky. I said, I went and made a short version, a 26-minute version. It's on LindaleTV.com. I'm telling her this. I said, you go watch that. You're the first one to call me this morning. You go watch that, and then you call me back. Otherwise, lose my number.
So what he was saying is that someone called him and asked him a question. And he said, what I'm going to not do is answer your question. I'm going to direct you to a 27-minute piece of propaganda. And you can watch that instead. Goodbye.
None of you, you're not getting the story. So she did. She goes, well, I said, believe me, no one else probably watched it either. You'll be the first one. So she went and watched it.
No, we did.
Kept coming in all morning long. Every one of them, none of them had watched it, had bothered as journalists to watch this.
Yo, everyone watched the MyPillow guys video. They're just not using it as a fucking reference because it's not a reference. We watched, if you were here in the chat, do you remember? They had this map and they had these little fucking like lines connecting countries, the little dots moving between the lines. And he was like, oh, each one of these dots was an attack on the election system over the internet. I'm like, what? And then he had this list of IP addresses that just looked like a server log. Like anybody who's ever been like a network security analyst or a Linux systems administrator knows what a fucking server log looks like. He just showed us a server log. And it's like, yeah, all these other computers are trying to connect to the server. That's what a server is there for. And that was all his movie was. He had these experts on and I don't know. He also didn't know how to use his microphone. He kept looking away from it. It was all bad. But yeah. Like a reporter that calls to ask this guy a question and they get the answer, oh, you should go watch my propaganda movie. They're like, whatever. I'd fucking print that shit. I'd be like, oh, he actually told me to watch this propaganda movie and wouldn't answer my question. Because that's funny. Speaking of funny, the podcast tonight has not been funny. Everybody listening on the podcast, make sure you check out twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Because the show doesn't end when the podcast ends. We do a whole after show. I've still got the rest of the docket for tonight. I got a bunch of great stuff for Red Light. Also, you can check out the audio only capture of the whole show at patreon.com/echoplex. Or you can email me because I'm like legitimately not going to not give you an MP3 because you won't give me $5. What kind of monster would not give you an MP3 for $5? But also, like, even if you don't care about the extended show or you watch live, Patreon's a good place because Twitch takes half of the money you give to me. Patreon takes like 5%. So patreon.com/echoplex. When the show's not live, if you enjoy the music we play, like in a minute, I'm going to play a song here. If you enjoy the music we play, you can always hear it when we're not live at eplex.xyz or by going to the TuneIn app and searching for Echoplex Radio. You can always find all this great local music. All these bands have submitted this music to us directly. Fucking one of the best parts of the show is the music. I know that some of the regulars around here have some favorites. Follow us on Twitter at EplexM. And otherwise, just be fucking cool and hang out for a minute because we're about to go into red light. Thanks again, everybody. I got to go find a song real quick because I didn't get a song before. I should have planned ahead, but no, Dave didn't plan ahead. We'll go with Reasoning. This is a Smoke and Mirror sound system. John Rye is the lead singer of Smoke and Mirrors Sound System and the songwriter. He used to live here in the Bay Area. Now he lives in Southern California. And the Smoke and Mirrors Sound System project is ska musicians, ska and reggae musicians from all across the world. Good friend of ours, Curtis from Monkey, who's been on Local Love a bunch of times, is on the Smoke and Mirrors Sound System project. Not sure if he's in this track. Anyway, this song's called Reasoning. It's a song that is, let's just say, not very hopeful about the state of the world during the pandemic, but it's the real. And after the song is over, all the lights will be turned red and we'll go into the flip side. We'll be taking phone calls at 415-903-PLEX. That's 415-903-7539. You can also join the Discord at discord.me/echoplex and jump in and say hi. I don't know, fucking shout out to the chat room. I'll see everybody on the flip side. We'll be right back.
the gun to your head. Let your voice be your weapon. Let your shield be your words. Let there be no confusion.
Let the people be heard.